Views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Welcome back to Cooking Like a Pro. You found us, Chef Cal, with Mrs. Chef Krista.
Hello.
All right. We are excited about today's show. You found us on KCNR, 1460 AM or 96.5 FM. And you can give us a call down here if you have a question. You can call us at 530-605-4567. Again, 530-605-4567, or you can go to cookinglikeapropodcast.net, and you can type in a question, and we'll be sure to get you answers to that. So, but anyway, I'm excited about today's show, as always, because we're going to be talking about a variety of things like we do, but we're going to start off with one of my favorite things, which is condiments, seasonings, flavors, things that maybe you should have if you don't have. We're going to be talking about some things that I think, to be honest, every kitchen, or I guess every refrigerator door should have on the inside, as well as some that can be stored in more of a dry storage. But condiments, they really, really help your food out.
We have a lot of condiments.
We have
two refrigerators full of condiments.
I wouldn't even guess how many. Well, okay, take a guess. What do you think? I'm thinking 60, 70 condiments.
Yeah,
maybe more if
you
go through.
High.
Yeah. There's a lot, you know, because, you know, we're making something. It's like, wow, this could really use a little bit of zap here, or, you know, I mean, we kind of consider what flavors you want to go. Do you want to go towards, you know, sour or sweet or salty or bitter or umami, any of those things. And if you do, then you need a little help, and that help comes quite often in the form of condiments.
Including salad dressings.
Salad dressings, yeah. Take Italian salad dressing, one of my favorite marinades, just Italian salad dressing. You know, it's Paul Newman's, of course.
Yeah, and it's great on vegetables. It's great on meat. It's very versatile.
Yeah, you can use a little bit. It's only limited by your imagination when it comes to the different flavors you want to add. Cool things from maybe using, you know, ground coffee, you know, and on your steak. I know we have a seasoning that's it's a coffee rub, mm-hmm, that we put on meat, and it just adds that deep, rich, you know, flavor, and kind of a roasted or toasted rather flavor. But again, it's just something you need to have. It just really helps you out. I think the larger, your, you know, variety, number and variety of condiments are, just the more, you know, fun you can have in the kitchen, kind of playing around. Like, gosh, you know, this would, sometimes I'll just look at the seasonings. I say, okay, I'm going to cook some chicken or something, and maybe pick a protein or some vegetables. And then I just look at the shelf, look in the garden, look what's hanging out. And again, condiments is always a great way to do that.
So here's something I did this week. For years, I have made tuna melts, something I've made down at my parents' house. And I have this certain way of doing it, and it's with, you know, canned tuna, then I'll add some fresh pickles to it, fresh celery, and then I'll use a base of mayonnaise, and then I usually add a Dijon mustard to it.
Oh, there you go.
But I went different this time. My mom had some Carolina Gold in the door,
okay,
which is a mustard base, like barbecue sauce, and just that little bit of bite from the mustard, the acidity from the vinegar, a little bit of sweetness, because there's a bit of tomato in there, because it's, you know, part tomato, part mustard. It totally gave it a whole new...
You know what really makes a great tuna melt? Is if you have your tuna, but have a little bit of dolphin in there.
Oh,
you know, because it's had that richness that only dolphin can add. You know, I mean, you know, well, they're out there fishing for them. The tuna, you never know if a dolphin's going to get hung up, but.
No dolphins were hurt in the recording of this radio station.
No dolphins were hurt. Anyway, okay, so the number one, condiment, and I didn't Google this, but I'm guessing it's probably ketchup. You know, you figure ketchup, ranch dressing, those are the two things that, you know, as a restaurateur, that I go through more than probably anything else in the last 40 plus years of being in this business, that it's just one of those things that people get asked for. But ketchup, I would highly, highly suggest, especially now that we have these little computers that we carry around in our pocket, to get your ingredients and make your own ketchup. Because the challenge with ketchup is the biggest problem, let's put it this way, is the high fructose corn syrup. You want to stay away from that in anything. And you can't, I don't know that you can buy ketchup. Well, there's a lot of, people that are making, real specialty items, but.
Well, if they substitute cane sugar or molasses syrup.
Yeah, something other, or honey. I mean, cause you want to get some sweetness in there, but the high fructose corn syrup is, there's nothing good about it, for you. But basically just tomatoes, vinegar, whatever your sweetener is, and then, salt, and you can, go ahead and add some spices if you want and balance that out, especially fresh tomato ketchup. Oh, my goodness.
Okay, hey, not to burst your bubble, but the number one most popular condiment in the United States is mayonnaise.
Mayonnaise. Oh, Ben just looked it up. Mayonnaise ain't a condiment,
Yeah.
Back when they used to have this thing called newspapers. It was back in the 1900s. And they had this newspaper here locally had called me, and I was a chef at the time, decades ago, and they wanted me to have a discussion about the difference between whether I liked mayonnaise or Miracle Whip.
Oh dear.
But the thing about Miracle Whip is, the greatest use for Miracle Whip?
I think you said it was to take the bumper stickers
off
cars.
Yeah, take the bumper stickers off your car. I mean, this stuff works great.
It's just so high, and it's so acidic and vinegary. It's not in the same plane as mayonnaise. Mayonnaise and Miracle Whip are two
totally
different.
No, but the people
totally
that
different.
Like Miracle Whip. But anyway, okay, so mayonnaise it is. I had mayonnaise written down number three here, not in order of importance. But yeah, but mayonnaise can be used in a lot of things. As a matter of fact, since we're talking about mayonnaise, I'll give you one of the best ways to, I would make my own mayonnaise. It's easy enough to make, but take mayonnaise. Anytime you're cooking something, you want to encase it. Anytime you can encase it or enclose it, the flavor is going to be more in there. Hence, cooking something maybe in a paper bag, or they have the plastic bags that you can put your roast in when you're cooking in a crock pot. There's a variety of things that you can do. Wrap something in papillette, so it's wrapped in parchment paper when you cook it. Deep frying is kind of the same way, because when you deep fry something, it's not going to, the water and oil don't mix. So whatever you take a piece of fish and dip it in a batter and put it in a deep fry, you're not losing any flavor because it's all going to be encased. Well, with the point with mayonnaise is that a recipe where we take mayonnaise and lightly coat a piece of halibut, or you could use salmon, but it keeps all that flavor in, and then there bake it. And it's completely changes the texture of the mayonnaise. It doesn't even taste like mayonnaise.
I have actually used it to do grilled cheese. Instead of putting butter on the bread to grill it in the pan, I'll use a mayonnaise.
Yeah. Remember simply that butter and oil don't mix. Water and oil don't mix. So if you got, a seafood that is moist, that has liquid in it, and you coat it with oil, which is what mayonnaise is, then there you go. Mustard, that's another one that you can real easily make your own. There are, I don't even know how many mustards we have at home. We probably got, six or eight.
Well, there's more than mustard. I mean, we think of traditional yellow.
Brown mustard.
There's brown mustard. There's Dijon mustard. Yeah. There's beer mustard. There's honey
beer
mustard.
Well, Dijon mustard's white wine.
Yeah, whatever. And also, I don't know if you know this, but depending upon whether your liquid, your water, your vinegar is hot versus cold will change the pungency of the mustard.
I can see that.
Yeah, it changes it. I think it's hot water makes it less pungent and cold water makes it more zingy, something like that.
Well, I wouldn't put a whole lot of water if I was making mustard, mustard is simply, vinegar, mustard seed, and salt, and then turmeric for the color. Those four ingredients, and you make your own mustard. You can add, again, a liquid for flavoring, local. outfit down in Chico, Sierra Nevada. I don't know how many. They make a mustard, I think, out of every beer they in.
Yeah,
they must have 20 beers.
Their pale ale mustard is very popular.
It is. It is. They do a great job on that one. So, but again, if you can make these condiments, it's that much better. But remember, make them in small quantities, because the challenge you're going to have is the great thing is they're not going to have all those preservatives and extra things in there to this adding to shelf life. So you don't want to make, you know, half gallon of ketchup, unless you go through a lot of ketchup, because it's not going to last as long, but you can control what you're eating, right? You can control the ingredients that's going to be, that's going in there. So, the first break just snuck right up on us. We're going to take a quick break. Cooking Like a Pro, we will be back in just a moment.
Gold Leaf Nursery's annual Groundhog Sale through the 8th. Gold Leaf Nursery will be open 8 days straight for this sale. Mark this one on the calendar, because there's only 8 days for this sale. Rain or shine, shadow or no shadow, the Groundhog Day Sale will go on. And what a sale it's going to be. 30% off all container stock from 1 gallon to 24-inch box-sized shrubs, tree, ground covers, huge supply of blue spruce assorted sizes, azaleas, camellias, ground covers, tulip flowering magnolias in bud. Smaller sizes, sale price starting at $12.99. Blueberry shrubs, several varieties ready to plant. Roses, hybrid tea, climbers, shrubs, and tree roses. All fountains and statuary and pottery, 20% off. Don't miss this Groundhog Sale. 30% off 1 gallon to 24-inch box shrubs and trees. If you want an extra day to shop, ask for a rain check. This is how to get there. Gold Leaf Nursery, 6186 Churn Creek Road, across from Tucker Oaks Golf Course and 1/4 mile from Airport Road.
Every day, your life is filled with choices. And when a health crisis happens, you need to be prepared to choose the best healthcare partner. That's when Shasta Regional Medical Center is there to answer the call above the rest. Ranked best in Reading and in the nation for patient safety and clinical excellence, you can be confident that when you choose Shasta, you are choosing superior care, safety, and excellence for you and your family. Choose Shasta at ShastaRegional.com.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Auto Body. You've been in an accident with your vehicle. You call your insurance. The first thing they do is tell you where to go to get an estimate and repairs. Well, tell them where to go and come see us at Coachmaster. They're sending you to their discount repair shop to get the cheapest repair possible. This is not in your best interest. You have the right to choose Coachmaster to do your repairs. All we need is your claim number, and we can handle the entire process. At Coachmaster, we don't repair your vehicle for the insurance company. We repair it for you. We use quality parts and products to ensure the highest quality repairs. Your vehicle will be returned to a pre-loss condition. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Coachmaster Collision Repair continues to be the leader in the North State for advanced technology in the collision repair industry. Remember Coachmaster on East Side Road. Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Ain't nothing in the world that I like better than bacon and lettuce and homegrown tomatoes. Up in the morning and out in the garden, get your ripe ones. Don't get a hard
one. Welcome back. Cooking Like a Pro, Chef Cal and Mrs. Chef, and we are talking about condiments. Again, if you have any thoughts on condiments, you can always go to cookinglikeapropodcast.net, and we will get those, or you can call in here at the station, 350-605-4567. So we're talking about condiments and seasoning, way to just enhance flavor enhancements for your food. We've touched on a few here, but we're just going to keep going. And one of them is barbecue sauce. And barbecue sauce, the thing about barbecue sauce is it comes from tomato sauce. Tomato sauce being one of the five main sauces. The French call them mother sauces, so they're the main sauce. You add something to a mother sauce. For example, hollandaise is a mother sauce. You add tarragon reduction with vinegar and shallots, and you have a béarnaise sauce. So those are called sister sauces. So you got mother sauces, you add ingredients, you have sister sauces.
Now, I would say that this is the one sauce I do like to make at home. I'm not going to make mustard. I'm not going to make ketchup, and I'm not going to make mayonnaise, most likely. I have those on hand. But barbecue sauce, you made it one time with what's the dark brand? The balsamic vinegar and shallots, and it changed it so much. I'm like, I was so addicted to it. It was better than the one you get off the shelf.
Yeah. Well, you're starting with tomato sauce. So you start with the mother sauce, and then the barbecue sauce, you add ingredients to the tomato sauce, and the barbecue sauce is the sister sauce. So kind of think of it that way. And when you think of it that way, you know, like Krista just mentioned, you know, you can add, there's certain things that, that barbecue sauce would generally have in order for it to fall into that category. And the three things that you would add would be usually red wine vinegar, a vinegar of some sort, brown sugar, and mustard. So if you add those to tomato sauce, you now have your very own barbecue sauce. But again, you can be brown sugar, so you need a sweetener. What you mentioned earlier, I mean, there's, you know, honey, there's a variety of things that you can use there. Cane sugar, get a good sugar. Almost any kind of vinegar, like Mrs. Chef just mentioned with the balsamic. And then again, the mustard can use,
you know,
any of the mustards that we're talking about. Just remember the flavor is going to obviously be incorporated when you mix it in. So, know that and be aware of that. So barbecue sauce, a sister sauce. Worcestershire. I mean, you call it LMP. Lee and Perrins. I imagine, again, I didn't Google this, but I imagine they probably invented it. But LMP, Lee and Perrins.
They did, but they did not trademark it. They never trademarked it.
That's why you see just Worcestershire. Mm-hmm. Worcestershire. Yeah, say that quick three times. But anyway, but the thing about it is you have to remember that it's made with anchovies, so it's going to be, and they're fermented. It's a fermented sauce. So with anchovies, you understand that it is going to be salty. You know, it's going to be, salty is the wrong word. It's going to be higher in sodium. So just know that if you're using Worcestershire, you probably, depending on what you're making, wouldn't really be adding anything else. But I almost always add a few drops of Worcestershire.
So when do you use it? Because we keep it in the fridge. That's one of our staples, you know, just like mustard and ketchup. Yeah. What do you add it to?
Just about anything. I mean, if I'm making an aioli, I'll put a little bit in there.
Just a little
bit of
depth
of
flavor.
Any kind of a cold sauce. If I make, I'm going to be making coleslaw for the football game coming up, you know, with Mom, I'm making the coleslaw. I'm actually making coleslaw, and I'm going to be making some bread, actually. Tried it last night. I got it from my son-in-law, my daughter's husband back in Tennessee when I was there. It's called Tennessee butter bread. It's great. Put the butter down, just whip up a quick dough with buttermilk. It's almost like a biscuit. And then you just put it in the pan, let it go about 15 minutes in a 450, flip it over, and it just soaks that butter in. I mean, you can feel your arteries starting to harden. It's good. You probably don't want to.
Would you put Worcestershire sauce on it?
Yeah, it might as a flavoring. I mean, again, it's just one of those flavorings. It's kind of like Tabasco sauce. But again, Worcestershire, the sweet in Worcestershire, though, is molasses. So it kind of gives it that, you know, a lot of that color. And then tamarind is also an ingredient that you find in that. But Tabasco sauce is, I mean, if you go into a restaurant and you see ketchup on the table or mustard on the table, if it's at that type of restaurant, you know, coffee shop style, you're almost always going to see Tabasco sauce.
And it's usually red Tabasco.
It's red, but my favorite is green.
Mine's just green.
Yeah, it's a little less hot, so you get a little more flavor, but it's made with the green chilies. And, it's, you know, I mean, there's a lot of hot sauces. I mean, there's way too many hot sauces. There are
tens of
thousands of different types of hot sauces.
That's why we have so many condiments in our fridge. It's a multitude of hot sauces.
It depends on your limit. But there's, you know, the Frank's hot sauce, which is goes on the chicken, buffalo type recipes. And that's one. I can imagine that stock goes up pretty high on Frank's, you know, around the Super Bowl time because everyone's making like a buffalo dip. You know, cream cheese with the other ingredients in there, but the hot sauce. But again, Frank's is one, but I would get your regular Tabasco and then get a green Tabasco, folks. I'm just recommending that. And every once in a while, you might put a few drops in something. If I just want something a little, I might be making a soup. I might put a few drops on there.
Salad dressings, too, can use to use a little hit of green Tabasco just to give them a little zing, too.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a great thing to have when we're talking about condiments. Other things, cocktail sauce, those kind of things, you can find those. Again, you can make your own. Cocktail sauce is generally going to be, you know, ketchup with a little bit of horseradish, a little bit of Worcestershire, a little bit of lemon juice, maybe a little Tabasco if you want. A variety of relishes, both sweet and dill. I'm a dill in tartar sauce. You know, and sweet relish I'll use in other applications, but for me, sweet relish does not belong in a tartar sauce. And,
relish goes on hamburgers.
Yep. On hamburgers. Yep. Pickle relish and, mayonnaise, you know, makes a great spread, you know, when it comes to burgers and then pickles. Pickles are just something that's I can put pickles on just about anything. In fact, I need to deep fry some because the ones that I had back in Tennessee were they weren't very good, but they weren't. It was actually at a hospital. So I was downstairs when my daughter was getting ready to give birth, and I want to try one of those deep fried pickles there. And it was.
Do they batter them before they fry them?
Yeah, it was battered. It tastes like some kind of like it was, you know, cornmeal of some sort, a cornmeal batter, you know, like a cornmeal breading, I guess. But in a bunch of mustards we talked about. You mentioned the balsamic. Not that long ago, we were down in on the coast, and we went into a balsamic vinegar and olive oil tasting. Well, they sold it too.
Yeah, it was a tasting room.
I think we did. What did we get? 10 of each. We got like peach balsamic aged, you know, black pepper, olive oil. It's some pretty cool stuff. Actually, when you're getting that kind of high quality, you really don't need to mix it with anything. You just drizzle it on.
Yeah, at the end, especially, what do you think, appetizers. When you take like a cracker and some cheese and some fruit, sometimes just a little bit of brightness from some vinegar splashed across the top.
A little hors d'oeuvre. Remember? Well, you might call it canapé. When we competed in Europe the second time in 2000, one of the things that we did was they had a tapas category, which they didn't have in 96 when we won. So tapas, we had to do a lot of research in what the heck a tapa is, and tapa meaning literally means lid. So it's something that you'd get kind of in the Spain area, I guess, maybe even Greece. But, so the bread would come on top of your wine glass, and there'd be like a little, you know, some little savory components perhaps on there. But it's something that's supposed to stimulate your taste buds. But you have, you know, a mousse bouche, which would be your single bite. And then you have a hors d'oeuvre, which would be two bites. A canapé, generally two bites, but it's always on some sort of a bread base, toast, you know, some kind of a, you know, sliced baguette, you know. But olive oil, though, Dad used to make us climb the trees and get olives and knock the olives off, and him and mom would cure olives. I can't wait till mom does it again. Just something about fresh olives. Something about an olive, just tastes better when it's got the pit in it, you know. But I was raised on that. But when they take olives and you press it, if you're buying something that says like a virgin, especially if it's a cold press, a virgin or a cold press olive oil, it needs to taste like olives. A lot of people don't think about that. But taste your olive oil. Just put your finger in there and taste it. It should taste like olives. If it doesn't, then it has other things in it. It's further down the line on the pressing. Maybe it's, all the way down to the final press, when they press what's called the wort. It's kind of like the same thing as making wine. When they press it, they get what's called pomace. It's pomace. So in fact, I think they even add oil to it, but it's a lower quality. You know, you want a cold press, olive, but, you know, olive oil, you know, if you're buying a really high quality one, then use it, you know, lightly.
You don't cook with it in the pan.
Perfect term. Fishing oil. That's what I would do. Pesto is always a good one too. I know you, and your ladies from church make a lot of pesto. One thing about, you know, basil is pretty prolific. It's not a perennial. It doesn't grow all year round, but it's prolific when it gets going.
Yeah, it can go. It can go 5-6 feet tall.
Yeah, so the gather up all the basil and get the rest of your ingredients again. There's basically four things you're looking at: your basil itself and oil, or I should say your herb, because it doesn't have to be basil. It could be
pesto's an herb. It could be
almost anything. It could be mint. Yeah. Well, it's kind of more of a chimichurri, but basically you're talking about basil and your oil, Parmesan cheese, and then your nuts. Generally. Traditionally, it's going to be pine nuts. They're pretty expensive, but I make it with, pistachios. I made it with walnuts.
Almonds.
Made it with all kinds of different things. And when we come back after this break, we're going to continue our talk about condiments and seasoning, and we got a variety of other things. So we appreciate you tuning in and listening to us, and we'll be back in just a moment on Cooking Like a Pro, KCNR 1460 AM.
I got beans, greens, potatoes, tomatoes, lamb, rams, hogs, dogs, chickens, turkeys, rabbits, you name it!
Hi friends, RC here with Tobacco and Brew, bringing you this month's Cigar of the Humidor, Monte Cristo Classic No. 2. This Figueroa has been described as one of the world's great cigars, a silky Connecticut shade wrapper in combination with the best Dominican tobaccos form this perfectly constructed cigar. The smooth aroma of toasted almonds, vanilla, coffee, and spice round out this classic stick. Get yours today at Tobacco and Brew, Redding, California.
Hi, it's Mark from Haven Humane Society. Are you looking to add to your family? We have puppies, kittens, small critters, and farm animals. Each year, we have thousands of amazing animals looking for homes come into our lives, and we hope to have them join yours. Follow us on social media and find our links on our website, havenhumane.org. Watch our weekly content on YouTube, like our Mark's Monday mashup, when we talk about what's going on and introduce you to our team and adoptable animals. Get involved. Volunteer. Thank you for all your continued support. Together, we are moving closer to our ultimate goal of a North State with no more homeless pets.
The National Wild Turkey Federation 26th Annual Redding Chapter Hunting Heritage Banquet is Saturday, March 1st at the Senior Citizen Center at 2290 Benton Drive in Redding. Doors open at 4:30 p.m. and dinner will be served at 6:30. Tickets and sponsorship tables are available by calling 530-526-8350 or get your tickets online at nwtf.org/events.
For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300, a reputation for excellence since 1965.
When the moon hits your eye like a big pizza pie, that's amore. When the world seems to shine like you've had too much wine.
Welcome back to Cooking Like a Pro, and we'd like to just take a quick moment to personally thank Charlou and Kathy and the whole Charlou's family for sponsoring our Cooking Like a Pro podcast. Charlou's located just south in the Shasta Gateway Shopping Center. One of the very few family-run restaurants still left in the area. They are open 7 days a week, serving the best homemade pizza, delicious pasta, crisp salads. You'll find it all. And also, Charlou, and I think even Kathy's been getting her hand in the creamy, authentic Italian gelato. They have teamed up to have that available for you as well. And it's all provided in a relaxing, unhurried family atmosphere. So you can enjoy the incredible beer wall, offering a great variety of everything from frosty ales to IPAs, creamy porters and ciders. And be sure to, sign up for their rewards program as well. And you get you'll receive all the deals that they do. And they do them all the time. And they now have the Charlou's Adventure Room. So if you're looking for a place, go online to charlou's.com and take a look at what they're offering. It's just an amazing, amazing place to bring your kids and little tykes. And they got bouncy houses all over and arcades. And the kids can even make their own pizza. They can even have the master pizza maker, Charlou himself, will show them how to make pizza. And again, If you're saving time, you can even give them a call and pick something up on the way home. But anyway, find it all at charlews.com. Again, charlews.com. You can let them know that Chef Cal and Mrs. Chef personally sent you down. So, again, thanks for tuning in. We are talking about condiments and tons of them there. One of the ones that I really enjoyed a lot that I hadn't had until I was competing and we did a special event. And it was actually up here. It was with the chef. His name was Chef Scott. Gosh, I'm not going to remember his last name. Anyway, he was fantastic. Master Chef. This guy's incredible. He made a Romesco sauce. And it was the first time. I mean, this was in the 90s, a long time ago. But it's the first time that I'd had Romesco, which is kind of a combination of roasted red peppers and roasted tomatoes. And then just, you know, garlic. You don't need a whole lot of acid because you've got the tomato. Garlic and then some kind of nuts. And generally, I always did it with pistachios. But a Romesco. And it's something you can put. It's a great side condiment to put on a piece of grilled fish, even a piece of poultry. I mean, you can put it on anything you want to eat it on, but it's really, really delicious.
And even just on a crostini, like a little.
Yeah, eat it on a crostini. You just dip a crostini in there and you're set to go. But again, it's all these different flavors, all these different condiments and all these different little things you can make. And, you know, chimichurri is one that's become real popular.
Argentinian.
Yeah. Yeah. It's one been real popular and it's one that's kind of, you know, you see it now in a variety of places. And really, if you think of a chimichurri, think of it as an oil and vinegar dressing, but just with less, oil and vinegar and a ton of herbs, and fresh garlic. It's got to have fresh garlic in it, but almost any herbs, generally, dill works with mint. One thing about mint, you don't see mint used much. I mean, you do an Asian.
It's cuisine. Very, very powerful.
Yeah. It's powerful. So I'd be careful not to add, you know, not to overpower something with it. But the thing about mint is that it's a real bright. It adds a real brightness to something when you're using it.
And it grows like a weed.
Yeah. Well, it can take over as well. Think of something like a bon ami. The Vietnamese sandwich with usually it's pork and there's a variety of marinated vegetables. But that's a dish that without mint, it would be completely different. I don't even know if I've ever had one without mint, but that's one of the things you put, you know, mint's usually a garnish, you know, something that you see on your dessert. But anyway, yeah, chimichurri, tzatziki is one of my favorites. Basically just, you know, a flavored yogurt, you know, with garlic and that's something and cucumber. Cucumber needs to be a main flavor profile. Your tzatziki needs to probably taste more like, cucumber than anything else. After that, I would say yogurt. Again, yogurt has a lot of acid in it. Again, garlic. And then on your herbs, again, dill, mint. Mint is something that's generally going to be something that you find in your tzatziki. And then oil and then, you know, salt. Just always add your salt last. And tzatziki is, again, something that goes great on seafood. Traditionally, it's going to be, you know, a dipping sauce.
It's refreshing with the cucumber.
Middle Eastern kind of a dish if you're going to have some pita bread and you're making a gyro or something like that. But it's something that doesn't just, I mean, just because it's a condiment that goes with something else doesn't mean you can't use it on something completely different.
I mean, that brings up a good point that condiments, you know, typically we see a sandwich with mayonnaise and mustard, but putting the pesto on a sandwich, putting tzatziki on a sandwich, can completely change what direction it goes in.
Yeah. Well, think about making a burger. Just make your regular burger, but now use a tzatziki or use a romesco. You know, use a chimichurri. Use any number of these different condiments we've been talking about, and you've now just taken it a completely different direction. You know, and added some. I mean, you know, food needs to be a little exciting. If it's not, then you know, I mean, why we spend all our, you know, what else are you going to do more than eat? You know, you're to hopefully sleep and probably work. But you know, food's got to be right up there. So why not enjoy it? Right.
And the sauce will take it the direction you want it to go. So you're talking about burgers. Let's say you even take it to a turkey burger. yeah. or a chicken burger. Mm-hmm. And then you can go with the, either to the Greek side or you can go to an Italian side, depending upon what flavor, what region you want to go to with it.
You know, and the one thing about tzatziki is it goes great with vegetarian food. You know, I mean, if you want to say you wanted to do either like a barbecued portobello mushroom burger, or grilled eggplant, fresh eggplant with goat cheese, little tzatziki on top. Again, you know, you can go any direction you want. And, horseradish, that's another one.
Not my favorite.
I'm not a real big horseradish fan. My mom likes it. I like wasabi. Well, I like fresh wasabi. If you've never had fresh wasabi, which I don't know how many people in the sound of my voice have had fresh wasabi, it grows so slow if you go into a really nice Asian-inspired restaurant, I know the only couple times I've had it, it's been they take shark skin and they take the root, the wasabi root, the horseradish root. They take the wasabi root and they just it almost looks kind of like ginger.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of sorry. And then they just scrape it on the shark skin, and the shark skin just kind of, you know, turns into like a little bit of a pulp, and it's just amazing. Doesn't taste anything like this, that green stuff that they put on there, but, you know. And one thing we haven't talked about, which has got to be up there, I don't know, Ben can probably look it up, but, and that's salsa. You know, a salsa can go so many directions. Now, I'm going to give you my basic salsa that I consider my favorite go-to, and that was one from, I can't remember the
Mark
chef.
Mark Miller.
Oh, Mark Miller. Well, my wife remembered. You take the onions and just quarter them up because you're going to barbecue them. You don't want them to fall through the little grates on your char grill. And then take tomatoes, cut them in take the core out, cut them in quarters so they're big pieces. You know, maybe some garlic and some oil. Toss that in a bowl and then just dump it right onto your barbecue. Nice hot barbecue grill. Brush it first, wipe it down, get the soot off of it, spray it with a little, you know, pan coating, and then just dump this right on there. And then just close the lid and let it cook. And then let it cook. Once it starts to char, go and just scrape that off into your bowl. At this point, you're going to add, adjust the seasoning to whatever it is you want. You know, you can add a little more garlic if you want. But you just a little salt and pepper. You burr mix that up, you know, blend it up. And it's just got that rich, beautiful, really savory flavor, that umami flavor.
So do you char the tomatoes too and
yep,
the peppers?
The tomatoes, no, it's just tomatoes and onions. And you can even and some garlic and just dump it right on your barbecue, shut the lid down, let it just smoke and cook in there. And just scrape it off, you know, burr mix it up, and it's really literally one of my favorites. Let's see. One thing you see a lot also is the pickled red onions. You see that it's one of those condiments that you're seeing around that, again, you know, if you add pickled red onion onto your regular hamburger that you're eating, you're going to get a completely different, you know, sensation, completely different flavor, taking it a completely different way. And then I know my Mrs. Chef here, she's a big fan of tamarind, especially as a salad dressing.
Oh, tamari.
Oh, I've seen tamari. I looked at tamarind, but I was thinking about tamari. It was tamari that was that salad dressing that you really like.
Yeah, down at Charlotte's, actually.
Uh-huh.
But they don't have it on the menu anymore. Oh.
Yeah. And then I'm just going to rattle off some things to kind of think about having on hand when it comes to kind of the Pacific Rim Asian type flavorings. Of course, soy sauce being a big one. Teriyaki sauce. Hoisin is a good one. Oyster sauce. Black bean sauce. You know, I would, ponzu sauce. I would go to, an Asian market to get these though. For one, they're going to be a lot less expensive. You know, if you have an Asian market in your area, then, you know, go there and load up on some of those.
Well, a lot of the Asian sauces are chili based. A lot mm-hmm. of them, they're always going for the heat.
Yep. That capsaicin is something that, well, you know, if you look at, you know, the people's hearts and the condition of, the health of their bodies, especially their cardiovascular system, you know, chilies, you know, and same thing with your Mexican and your Spanish foods. They eat a lot of chilies and they don't have nearly as much heart and you know, conditions. And so that's good. Fish sauce is also a good one, but go easy on it.
When do you,
don't
so we
smell
have
fish sauce. You don't, that's no. One of the things you don't smell. You just use it a little bit, use it sparingly.
So we have that one on hand, as well as anchovy paste. When do you add it? And like you said, very sparingly, when do you, what type of things do you add fish sauce to?
Just about anything Asian, because the one about fish sauce is it's highly salty. So it's going to add a really big kind of salty / umami base, you know, bam. Who's that? Who is Emerald?
Emerald.
Yeah. Said bam. It's going to add that bam, but you don't want a lot in it.
Well, it's made from what? Brined sardines?
It's really a background. Yes, it's really a background. And there's a lot of those things, dried fish, dried sardines, a lot of those type of things which they use for flavors in your different Asian dishes out there. Also sesame oil, miso paste, it just goes, and chili garlic paste. That's my go-to. I actually use what's called a sambal leek. You can find that generally through sambal leek, but I will put that stuff on just about anything. So anyway, up against the clock here. So going into our last break again, Cooking Like a Pro, Chef Cal, Mrs. Chef. We will be back in just a moment.
Hi, this is Judy Maxwell. Life can happen in an instant. Sometimes you plan for it, like retirement or taking care of your family. Sometimes it's a surprise, like a winter storm with home or property damage. Sometimes it may be an unexpected accident or illness or even a premature death. Whatever life throws at you, you'll wish you had gotten the right insurance when you had the chance. That's where Maxwell Insurance can help. For more than a quarter century, we've been serving the North State because it's our home, too. Give us a call at 221-0441 to let us help you review your policies and prepare you for whatever your future holds. Maxwell Insurance, 1378 Hilltop Drive, 221-0441.
Valentine's Day is just around the corner, and KCNR is congratulating our winner of our Valentine's Day grand prize drawing, Bill McDonald. His prize package includes a $100 gift certificate to go towards a Valentine's Day dinner at Taroko Asian Bar and Grill at 1701 Pine Street in downtown Reading, plus a dozen stunning long-stem red roses valued at $146, courtesy of Reading Florist at 3260 Bocelli Lane. Reading Florist, for birthdays, anniversaries, holidays, like Valentine's Day, or just because you want to go golf. You can reach them online at readingflorist@charter.net. He also received 2 dozen premium chocolate truffles, courtesy of Bouquet Bon Appetit at bouquetbonappetit@gmail.com. And 2 tickets to Chocolate After Dark at Turtle Bay. Congratulations to Bill McDonald from your friends here at KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and heard online at kcnr1460.com.
Oh, this is the night, it's a beautiful night, and we call it a Valentine.
Welcome back. All right, you've got us for the last segment here on Cooking Like a Pro. Again, Chef Cal and Mrs. Chef. And Mrs. Chef here has been wanting to talk about something that she came across, and she, what do you call it, a bound salad. Now, real quick before I let her take over here, the salads, we categorize them when we're training into things that we call like lettuce salads, so anything that has a lettuce base to it. And then we have what's called bound salads. These are salads that are bound in something. They're bound together by generally something like, you know, mayonnaise. They're bound together, so they're like, you know, potato salad, macaroni salad, those type of thing, coleslaw. So those are what we call bound salads. Now, one of the things that you're seeing a lot now, and I think this is really that trend of people desiring to eat healthy and also experimenting and some different things out there. And, those are what we call the bound salads, but they're not bound with you know, any type of a binding agent other than maybe a little bit of oil and some flavorings. But I'll let you take it away on that because there's just so many different things you can go. And these are all real healthy alternatives.
Yeah, there's a new thing that kind of went wild on TikTok. And it's I checked today. It's still going pretty wild. She's got like almost 3 million followers. Her name was Violet Witchell, and she started something called the Dense Bean Salad craze. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And so I grew up with the traditional three bean, green bean, kidney bean, and garbanzo in a vinaigrette, right?
Three or four beans, yeah, whatever in there.
Or as I was growing up, a two bean salad because I could not stand garbanzo beans. I would just do kidney beans and green beans in mine.
Yeah. Well, I would use the wax beans.
Yeah.
Wax and green.
Yeah, so you have the different colors. You'd have the red and the white and the green.
Yeah.
But now...
But you, wait a minute, now you eat hummus like it's going out of style.
I knew you were going to call me on that,
so,
but...
So why are you calling out garbanzos here
so
when you eat hummus?
To me, a garbanzo that's whole straight out of the fridge has horrible texture to me. But if you grind it up with creamy garlic and oil and vinegar, it's totally different to me. So
okay, all right, back bean salads. So bean salads.
Okay, so it's a bean salad as your base.
Okay.
Instead of lettuce or potatoes or tuna salad, it's a bean salad. But then you start adding your extra proteins of meat, diced up chicken and steak and things like that. And you can also add corn. Then you add cucumbers and tomatoes. And toss it in a vinaigrette.
And just pile it right onto a plate, huh?
And because, you know, think about how long a bean salad lasts in the fridge.
Yeah.
It lasts a really long time. So
it does if it has vinegar in it. The vinegar's what...
Yeah, so you have to have the vinaigrette with it to hold it. But a lot of times you'll make it at the beginning of the week, portion it out, and you'll have salads throughout the week to take to work.
Well, that's if you're a leftover person. Now, we do disagree a little bit on that. I mean, I can make a pot of spaghetti, folks, and I can eat spaghetti 5 days in a row, okay?
Two or three for me.
I found that out with Krista. I mean, you know, we could do ribs one night and the next day do pork chops, but they're from the same animal and I'm in trouble. So I do try to mix and match. But anyway, okay, so your bean salad. So we've got this... what other, I mean, grains I would imagine would be popular?
Yeah, sometimes you can mix in some grains, maybe in a little bit of pasta.
Yeah, I think of things like couscous, barley, variety of those, Israeli couscous is a real nice one that you can use, quinoa, a lot of things out there that you can mix in there.
Well, there's different beans, so one of the things that helps though is that they are canned beans. So it's quick and easy. You're not cooking beans from scratch. You're using canned beans. And okay. I have a question for you.
Sure.
Rinse the beans or not? Drain the beans or not? I always grew up learning that she would drain the beans and you would rinse them. But when you get into vegan cooking, what they call the aquafaba, the water that's poured off, is used in a lot of vegan cuisine. So in your mind, should a bean out of a can be rinsed?
Well, it's the same thought with mashed potatoes. You know, you boil your potatoes. A lot of people will use that water. Same thing with pasta water. They'll use that as opposed to throwing it away. But, I don't know. I mean, I think I would always dump it out. I wouldn't rinse them because then you're rinsing flavor off. But whatever that light brine is, that whatever it is that's in there, that liquid, I don't even think it's a brine. I don't think they put vinegar in there. They probably deteriorate.
Yeah, sometimes it's a little bit of salt sometimes, but it's mostly just off the bean itself.
Yeah. I would dump and just let them drain by their own weight. You know, don't rinse them off. Just dump them in a colander or a little china cap or whatever your draining device vessel is.
And there's a ton of different beans you can go with. Yeah. You can go with a white bean. You can go with the cannellini bean. You can go with a kidney bean, a black bean, black-eyed peas. You can throw in some corn, even though it's not technically a bean.
No, I mean, same thing. And peas, I mean, I think that, you know, the interesting thing about this, and I don't know who this person is that you're talking about, but you've kind of, you know, really come across, or at least she's come across something that where you can really add a lot of really cool flavors. And, again, you're talking about things that are inexpensive. Beans, probably the least expensive thing you can get besides rice. And rice would be something you can use in these too. We would call them, these salads would fall into a category of what we call legumes. because the legume is French for bean, so we would like, you know, do bean salads.
Well, and you can take it different directions. So I just, for fun, pulled up a few different ideas. You can go Mediterranean. You know, they're suggesting chickpeas and white beans, but it's got Kalamata olives, feta, capers, basil. Take it to a Mediterranean direction. If you want to do a Latin-inspired, you could do black beans and corn. You could add tomatoes and onions, cilantro and jalapeno and avocado.
Okay, so there's lots of beans that you can do for that. Oh, you know, I came across something. Somebody stole 100,000 eggs. Eggs are so expensive. Yeah, you sent that to me.
Yeah.
$40,000 worth of eggs. Yeah. My goodness. What are they going to do with them?
That's at 40 cents a piece.
That's a lot of omelets. That's a lot of frittatas.
Well, and the Waffle House is actually charging a surcharge if you wanted to get an egg.
All right.
So if you want to hear any of our previous episodes, you can find Cooking Like a Pro podcast on Apple and Spotify.
Yeah. All right. So so we were talking about the eggs, and then you were talking about the bean salads as well. I know there was, you know, we've been talking about eggs now for a while and different things you can do with eggs. I think that, you know, omelets we talked about. Well, we have chickens. Right. Matter of fact, we were on our way to the show tonight, and the chicken jumped in our car.
Yeah. BB. Chicken was sitting in my seat in the car.
Maybe she wanted to come with us.
Maybe she could be your co-host next week.
We could just hear her clucking and clucking, I guess. But I thought that was interesting. Does someone just steal eggs? That's sad. What's the world coming to when even your eggs aren't safe?
It'll be interesting to see if they find out who took them.
Probably something like Denny's or something like that, right? I mean, someone that goes through a lot of eggs. I feel sorry for restaurants going through a lot of eggs in this day and age. I wanted to finish up also on a few more condiments that we talked about. Tahini. Tahini is something that I'd never had it before. When I first had it, I fell in love with it. And tahini, it's an eggplant. You roast off your eggplant, and then you hollow and scrape the inside of the eggplant out, and then it's just garlic oil and some tahini, which is just ground sesame seeds, and that's a great think
well,
of it.
That's baba ganache, right?
Yeah. Think of it as as hummus. Yeah, but the tahini seeds is the main ingredient in the baba ganache.
Yeah, sesame seeds.
And that's when you start getting into your pita bread and your lavash, kind of your cracker breads to dip those into. And you mentioned anchovy paste. That's something that's great to have on hand because I think the shelf life on it it's a long time. It probably lasts almost as long as Twinkies do.
Now, I will not forget, you were doing a competition and you were preparing a pork dish and you seasoned it with anchovy paste. And I've always been kind of this anti-anchovy person. You know, do not put anchovies on the
pizza. Anchovy is one of those things that you use as a flavoring. Don't tell people it's in there. They'll never know.
Exactly. And you didn't tell me, but I was addicted to this pork. It was so good because I didn't understand the concept of using anchovy paste for that umami addiction to want you to just eat more and drink more and have more, you know, just more food. Damn. It was so good.
You know, one of the things also when you're making your chilies, if you roast those off you roast them off, but you smoke them. If you smoke them, then your chili, and then you turn that into a condiment. That's where you get chipotle. Chipotles are jalapenos that have been smoked. So it's not real hot, but very smoky. And when you're dealing with something with smoke, you have to be careful. Smoke will take something over really quickly. So you have to be careful with smoke. Let's see, that would be something like an adobo sauce. Curry is another one. You know, curry is something that, you know, you use in a lot of your noodle dishes, a lot of your Middle Eastern food comes with curries. I know our son, Isaac, he's back to like a mad scientist when he's making his ramen.
And I've actually started adding a curry blend to our ramen.
Yeah, I mean, back there he had curry. What else did he put in there? He put some, cumin in there. And yeah, it was just like, literally, he's a mad scientist. He's got all these, he needs to clean up after himself. But yeah, I mean, he was definitely doing some fun stuff. But anyway, you know, the point, folks, is to just have fun with it. And condiments is such a great way of doing that. And same thing with seasonings. Maybe next week we can talk a little more about seasonings and things you might want to have on hand. And obviously you don't need all of these things, but you know, go to the store and pick out a few things. Again, keep them small. You don't want to get a, you know, half gallon of something, especially if you've never had it before. But, you know, line your cupboards and line the inside, refrigerator door with some of this stuff. And, I think it's just going to help you out when you're making your food more interesting and unique.
It's the easiest way to shift into a different flavor direction.
Because exactly.
Every region, every country has their specialized condiments that will take you Asian-inspired, will take you Mexican-inspired, will take you Spanish-inspired.
So head down to the store coming up this weekend when you get a chance, the next time you're down there, and go through the condiment aisles, pick some stuff out to play with. And next week we'll be talking about some seasonings, so lots of fun things to do there too. But anyway, don't forget to make a difference, you know, someone else's day. We always say, like to say here, take the word random out of the phrase random acts of kindness, and just be intentional out there, folks. It's enjoy yourselves, stay safe out of with the cold weather coming in. And again, we just appreciate you listening. God bless you, and we will see you next time here on Cooking Like a Pro.
KCNR Shasta Ready.
Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.